4:07 on the Central Coast. It is Monday, October 30th, 2017. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Dave Congleton. Busy afternoon. Straight ahead on this broadcast during the 5 o'clock hour. It's Halloween Eve. So here's the question for you. What are you afraid of? What's your biggest fear? I'm not talking about snakes or spiders or whatever. Oh, you're afraid of nuclear war? You're afraid of the guy in the White House? You're afraid of the people who don't like the guy in the White House? I don't know. I just want to hear from you. We'll talk about that during the 5 o'clock hour. Dr. Rupert Challens from the Knorr Clinic is going to be here during the 6 o'clock hour. It is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. I believe this is the first time we've ever talked about Lake Nacimiento, and I'm going to fess up front that I've only been there once. Maybe twice. Phil Humphrey makes his first appearance on this broadcast. He's wearing two hats. One, there's a group called Save the Dragon. But he's also here as a member of the Nacimiento Regional Water Management Advisory Committee. I like Save the Dragon better. Phil, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Fine, Dave. Thank you very much for having me here.
And we have to remind people, it's the dragon because of what?
Because Lake Nacimiento, if you look at it from an aerial view, it looks like a dragon.
All right.
And so people have been referring to it as a dragon for as many years as it's been there.
And then what is the NRWMAC?
NRMAC stands for the Nacimiento Regional Water Management Advisory Council. Committee. We have been representing property owners and lake enthusiasts around Lake Nacimiento for over 25 years.
And you live at the lake.
And I live at the lake. And we represent the people's interests in the lake to both Monterey County and San Luis Obispo County. And our goal is pretty simple. We just want to maximize the water levels in the lake during the summer months for recreation.
So about how many people live there year-round?
Well, Heritage Ranch is the largest community. They've got about almost 3,000 people. Oak Shores is probably approaching 1,000, and then there's probably, in all the other communities around the lake, probably an equal amount. There's 5,500 property owners around the lake.
Wow. And how long have you been up there, Phil?
I've been up at the lake since 1978, lived there permanently since 1999.
So you're just a newbie.
I'm the newbie.
You're just the new kid on the block. You've only been there since the 70s.
My wife's family's been there since 1960.
And I know nothing about the history of Lake Nacimiento. What can you tell us?
Well, in the 1950s, Monterey County proposed building a dam on Lake Nacimiento, or on Nacimiento River, actually, to dam up water that could then be taken down the Salinas River into Monterey County to serve the farmers there. There was a lot of negotiations that went on between the two counties because all of Lake Nacimiento is in San Luis Obispo County, but it was Monterey County that wanted to put the dam in there. As part of their negotiations, San Luis Obispo County gets 17,500 acre-feet of water per year out of Nacimiento, and that's out of a total of about 399,000 acre-feet.
Hmm. So that's the origins. And are the water levels back up to normal?
The lake was full last winter. The lake is about 42% today.
All right.
Monterey County has been taking water big time all summer long.
So we got a lot of ground here to cover, but you're here today, Phil, because you and your neighbors, you have concerns about Monterey County, right?
That's correct.
So let me start with the tunnel. What is being proposed there?
Well, in order to understand a tunnel, you need to step back a little bit. In the 1990s, a company called Boyle Engineering created a report on how they could get more water available to go to both Monterey County and potentially San Luis County. There were two parts to that. One part was to build a reservoir up on Hunter Liggett, higher up on the Nacimiento River. That would be called the Jarrett Reservoir, and that would provide another 135,000 acre-feet of water. So roughly about a quarter or a little bit more of the capacity of Nacimiento. The second part of that was to create a tunnel that would go from Lake Nacimiento over to San Antonio Lake, which is on just over the hill from Nacimiento in Monterey County.
What's the distance?
The distance is about a mile.
Okay.
You know, depending on where you go, it's a mile to 2 miles apart. They proposed putting this tunnel in to take the floodwater that would normally be released out of the dam and end up in the ocean by the time it gets to Monterey County, and to capture that water and put it over into San Antonio. Lake Nacimiento fills quite rapidly because it has such severe topography.
Mm-hmm.
San Antonio is pretty flat. They don't fill anywhere near as often or as fast as Nacimiento does. So the idea of capturing floodwater and putting it into another storage facility has great value, and NARMAC supports that. I don't think there's anybody that says we wouldn't want to capture water and store it for use other than have it go straight to the ocean. The problem becomes one of where Monterey County wants to put the tunnel. They want to put the tunnel down at elevation 745. Now, to put that in perspective, the lake when it's full is at 800, elevation 800 feet above sea level. They want to put the tunnel down at 745, and then you have to have some water on top of that to provide the pressure to push the water through the pipe. But at 745, the lake is 50% full. And the concern that people have around the lake is, based on Monterey County's history with doing what they say they're going to do or not doing what they say they're going to do, the concern is that the lake would never get over 760, that 745 right. plus 15 feet. We would never see the lake more than half full again.
All right, but back up. So what has been the history of Monterey County on this issue? Are they ones not to keep their word?
Yes, that's pretty much the story. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I've got all kinds of anecdotal things we could probably talk about as to things they promised and not done. But what's really important is NARMAC is proposing that the tunnel be at elevation 780.
And who is going to be the final decider on this, Phil?
Well, the way it's going to work is because Monterey County is going to do the modification and install the tunnel. All the money that will come as a result of Monterey County voters. They're going to have a 218 vote to get the money for it. But all the people that will be affected by the lake around the lake live in San Luis County, and they have no vote.
Right. Well, who's going to decide the level of where the tunnel is going to be? Is it the County Board of Supervisors in Monterey County? Is it their engineering department?
It's an agency that's part of Monterey County. It reports to the Board of Supervisors. It's called the Monterey County Water Resources Agency, and they're the ones that are pursuing it, and they're the ones that they've got a $10 million grant from the state to do their preliminary engineering, and then there's probably $80 to $100 million to complete the tunnel.
$80 to $100 million?
Yes.
For a one-mile tunnel?
For a one-mile tunnel. Now, it's going to be... they're proposing the tunnel to be 10 feet wide. NARMAC, when we proposed it as a 12-foot tunnel, and we've been working on this for years. We proposed it as a 12-foot tunnel. As a 12-foot tunnel can be up higher, and when it's higher, the distance is shorter. And so the distance that you save would be the money that you could then use for the larger tunnel.
Phil Humphrey on this broadcast talking about what's happening up at Lake Nacimiento. So have you had the opportunity to express these concerns to anybody in Monterey County, and are they listening to you at all?
We have expressed all of our concerns to Monterey County for the last 4 years. 2 years ago, we provided them with a list of questions that we needed answers to, and to date, they've not answered those questions. They've given us a few answers in the way of vague answers, but we wanted very specific questions. Like, for example, there's property owners there where the tunnel is going to go underneath their property, and they're concerned about their wells. Monterey County said, oh, we'll take care of that, and they provided a resolution that the Board of Supervisors of Monterey County approved, saying that, well, if we determine that it's our fault that your well failed, then we'll take care of that. Well,
doesn't sound promising.
That's called litigation.
Yeah.
And that takes forever. Well, those people on properties that are affected, they've got livestock. They need water tomorrow.
Right. So have you reached out to State Senator Bill Monning at all?
Yes, we've met with Senator Monning. We've met with San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors individuals, and we've also met with some of the supervisors for the Monterey County Board of Supervisors.
Any satisfaction?
None.
Really? Even down here in San Luis?
Oh, I'm sorry. I should... set back just a bit. We haven't had any satisfaction out of Monterey County. They right. just kind of keep trying to blow us off. San Luis Obispo County is very, very supportive. Supervisor Pashong and Supervisor Arnold, we've talked with them, and They're very supportive of us. They also believe that the tunnel should probably be at a higher level. And what Monterey County is threatening now is they're threatening eminent domain on the property owners, because the property owners won't allow them to come on and drill test holes until they get some indemnification that they're not going to have property damage and well damage from the drilling.
But isn't Lake Nacimiento all in our county?
All of Lake Nacimiento is in San Luis Obispo County.
So how can they claim eminent domain?
Well,
This is a war. This is fighting words here, Phil.
They are fighting words. As a matter of fact, one county cannot perform eminent domain in another county, with one exception: water.
Really?
That's the only exception. However, it does require that the other county, meaning San Luis County in this case, has to agree with them to support the process of eminent domain.
So we'd have to buy off on it to make this happen.
We have to support that. And presently, I don't believe that San Luis Obispo County is willing or even considering supporting that domain.
Phil Humphrey on this broadcast. We're talking about Lake Nacimiento. His group is Save the Dragon. We'll come back and chat some more. I'd stick around. I'm Dave Congleton. This is KVEC News Talk 920 and FM 96.5. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. My guest for the hour is Phil Humphrey, longtime resident of Lake Nacimiento, member of the Nacimiento Regional Water Management Advisory Committee, but also a group called Save the Dragon. One last question, Phil, about the Interlake Tunnel that they're proposing between Nacimiento and San Antonio. What's your call to action here? What do you want my listeners to do?
Actually, I would encourage the listeners to contact the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors, the individuals there, and express your concerns about this, and also Monterey County Board of Supervisors. They need to understand that there's 5,500 property owners around the lake who have no vote on what they're trying to do, but yet they're going to be the recipients of whatever action is taken.
Is there a time frame for this? Do we know when the Monterey County Board of Supervisors is going to address this?
They've been addressing it periodically as different things come up already. They're looking to have this 218 vote next year, so it's coming up on us quickly, and the engineering is proceeding. We have asked for the modeling data so we can compare it with our modeling data with regards to where the tunnel invert would be, either 745 or 780, and to this date, they've not been willing to share that with us.
Phil Humphrey is here expressing his concerns about what's happening, not happening at Lake Nacimiento. The first one is this proposed interlake tunnel between Nacimiento and San Antonio. But your second concern is reduced ranger staffing. How bad is it?
Well, ranger staffing, say, 5 years ago would be about 20 people. They would have two boats on the lake. They would have two people in each boat, one to drive and one to be on the lake. They'd have people in the campground. They provide the only law enforcement on the lake. They're in there looking at drunken boaters, reckless boaters. There's centerline buoys because there's areas that are very shallow at the lake, and they have to maintain the centerline buoys to make sure there's no boating accidents. And they also are there during emergencies to provide emergency services. And then obviously because their gang activity is moving both from north of us and south of us, they provide a deterrent to gang activities.
You got gangs at Lake Nacimiento?
We have some now.
Really?
There have been some. You know, Sheriff Parkinson has indicated in the past that the gangs are moving from Salinas south and from Santa Maria north. And we're right there in the middle, and it's a great recreation area.
Oh, yeah.
And law enforcement is critical to that area. Currently, they have reduced their staff over the last 2 years down to 6 rangers for all of Monterey County, for all of their parks. And their plan is by January 1st to be down to 4. And those 4 are going to have to cover all of Monterey County parks in their entire county.
Well, I assume this is for budgetary reasons?
It is. That's what they're saying it's for. But basically, they're leaving us unprotected. There's nobody to respond to emergencies. There's nobody to respond to issues with mussels, and I'm sure we'll get
to
that.
Yeah, we'll get to mussels next.
And but the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office puts a boat on the lake on the big holiday weekends, 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day. But they've also indicated that they don't have sufficient resources to have somebody on the lake all the time.
So they can't step up.
They can't step up. However, Supervisor Pichon has put in a request to add two more sheriff's deputies who would be then able to be onto the lake.
All right.
That would be in next year's budget.
Now, what about mussels?
Mussels. Mussels is an interesting thing, and most people don't know about the threat that we face with quagga and zebra mussels. Quagga and zebra mussels came from the Baltics back in the 80s, got into the Great Lakes and infected the Great Lakes, and then ever since then, they've been moving westward by hitchhiking on boats and trailers and so on and so forth. They're very invasive. They're very prolific. One mussel can have as many as 1 million babies a year.
1 million babies?
1 million babies a year. And what they do is they basically, they will kill the lake over time because they eat all, they are filter feeders. They eat the phytoplankton, which then takes away something for the next level up and so on and so forth. Eventually, the lake will die. But in the meantime, what happens is the lake gets real clear. That's nice. But the bad news is also the lake gets clear, and so there's algae blooms, which are toxic. But they, most importantly, they clog everything. There can be as many as 50,000 quagga mussels in a square meter. For example, the dam operation, the valves, the tubes, everything in the dam, they will get clogged. The Nacimiento pipeline. San Luis Obispo County spent $150 million to put in the Nacimiento pipeline.
Right.
And if it gets infected, the maintenance cost is huge. It's absolutely huge. The Los Angeles Metropolitan Water District spends over $1 million a month just cleaning out their pipes of mussels.
Well, I'm glad we have inspection so that we don't have to worry about it.
Well, it's NARMAC. NARMAC has worked with San Luis Obispo County and Public Works to establish a mussel inspection program. We have so far trained over 400 mussel inspectors at the lake, and there's about 30 ramps around the lake, and the inspectors are all volunteers. They work around all the different ramps so that every boat that comes into Nacimiento gets inspected.
All right, we've got plenty to talk about. Bill Humphrey on this broadcast talking about what's happening, not happening at Lake Nacimiento. We'll start including your phone calls after this news break. I'm Dave Congleton. You're listening to Hometown Radio. Good to be with you on Hometown Radio. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. We're continuing our conversation with Phil Humphrey. The group is called Save the Dragon. He's concerned about what's happening as a longtime resident up at Lake Nacimiento. Specifically, this proposed interlake tunnel, which would connect Lake Nacimiento to Lake San Antonio. The reduced ranger staffing at the lake. And also, as we were talking before the break, the mussel program. If you want in on the conversation, pick up the phone, give us a call, 543-8830 or 1-800-549-5832. We always invite your participation in the conversation. So, Phil, as we come back to you, we were just talking about the mussel program. I want to go through that again, please. So the problem seems to be that the mussels are coming here from other parts of the country.
Yes.
And they do damage to the boats, to the water supply.
To the boats, the water supply. And property values, when the lake gets infested with mussels, because the lake goes up and down, the mussels will be on the shoreline. They have very sharp shells. You cannot walk on the beach, although you probably wouldn't want to walk on the beach anyway, because as they decay, they smell so bad you wouldn't want to go anywhere near there.
Yeah.
But property values would plummet. That would be a disadvantage to San Luis Obispo County with property tax revenue. And then also we've done a survey that indicates there's probably about $16 million worth of income coming into the North County as a result of the lakes, with restaurants, hotels, people staying at the lakes, boating.
$16 million.
$16 million. Wow. And that would probably, most of that, go away.
So what are you asking for? What's the best way to deal with these mussels?
Well, I think that in cooperation with San Luis Obispo County, NARMAC, and San Luis Obispo County, and to some degree Monterey County, has established this inspection program, which has really, really been effective. I mean, almost all of the lakes in Southern California, because they get their water from the Colorado River and Lake Mead, they're all infected. We've so far dodged the bullet, and it's because of our inspection program. It's the only thing that is keeping us mussel-free. There is a San Luis Obispo County misdemeanor ordinance where if someone launches a boat without having an inspection and the valid permit on the lake, they are subject to a $2,000 fine. And this goes back to the rangers, because there's no rangers on the lake. There's no law enforcement on the lake. There's nobody to write those tickets if someone is caught on the lake without a permit.
And aren't there a lot of private ramps at the lake?
We have about 30 private ramps. There's the marina ramp, which is run by Monterey County, and then about 30 private ramps around the lake and all the different communities around the lake.
So, you know, this is more about mussels than I've ever talked about before. But there's no statewide inspection.
No. However, the state does collect $8 per vessel each year for what they're calling mussel prevention programs. And there are some limited grants available, but so far that's not really been effective. And there is no cure. Once a lake is infected, you're just done. There is no natural predators that they'll allow into the U.S. There are some chemicals that can be used, but on a lake the size of Nacimiento, it's just not practical.
You would think, given the dollar amount that you just mentioned, that more attention would be paid to this.
It is very surprising that it is not. And what's really interesting is the amount of money that will have to be spent in maintenance if the lake is infected, because it'll get down into the water system, it'll get into the Nacimiento pipeline, it'll affect all the communities that signed up for the Nacimiento pipeline and spent their $150 million.
And if the tunnel goes through, then it will go over into Lake San Antonio.
Yes, absolutely.
So there's more at stake than just Nacimiento here.
Yes, that's correct.
All right, 543-8830, 1-800-549-5832, as we talk about Lake Nacimiento. The other part of this, listening to the three points you raised today, Phil, is that there seems to be a clear lack of trust with you and your neighbors in Monterey County. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say. We've had a lot of experience over the years with Monterey County. They're not very responsive to anything that they're not interested in, or they're not very responsive at all to any of the interests that people in San Luis Obispo County have. We don't vote on anything that they want to do, because we don't live in Monterey County. Therefore, they typically ignore us in many, many ways. There's anecdotal information of situations that have gone over 50 years with Monterey County promising to do something, even in writing.
Give us an example.
There's a property owner out by where I live who has a ranch that was there before there was a lake. And when Monterey County came in and brought the lake, basically her easement to access her ranch ends up underwater. Monterey County said, oh, well, we need to give you another easement for that. And so they have, over the years, provided her letter after letter after letter. In fact, I took a banker's box full of documents that have been provided by Monterey County over the years on that issue to one of the Reservoir Operations Committee meetings for the Monterey County Water Resources Agency and said, you've been promising this for now 57 years, and this person still has not got an easement to be able to access her ranch. So that's just one thing.
57 years.
57 years. You know, it's always going to go to county council, or, oh, we got a new county council. He's starting over and looking at everything again. That kind of stuff is just a delaying tactic. It's just one other way for them to exert what they believe is the power. They believe that they own the lake. They can do anything they want. Now, in California law, you and I own the water beneath our homes, you know, our property. But the water that's open water belongs to the people of the state of California. Monterey County has a permit to operate the lake that they get from the State Water Board. whenever they start talking about, you know, we own the water, and I bring up the fact that the people in the state of California don't own it, they don't like to hear that, but I bring it up pretty regular.
Yeah. So what have you learned from this whole experience about dealing with local government?
Well, I think it's important that we engage ourselves with the local government, with our boards of supervisors, and work with them. They have a lot of stuff on their plate. They have so many things that they have to be responsible for, and so you need to get engaged so they understand the concerns that you, as citizens of their jurisdiction, have the opportunity to share your thoughts and your concerns with them. And fortunately for us, John Pashong in the North County and Frank Meacham before him have been very, very helpful and responsive.
But it doesn't sound like the folks in Monterey County have been as responsive.
Not at all.
Is there a meeting? Is it part of the call to action here? Is there a meeting that people can, how can people help out here?
Well, I think they can talk to their local elected representatives. There are meetings that take place on a periodic basis. We try and advertise them, and one of the things that I would suggest people do is go look at our website. It's narmac.org. Or SaveTheDragon.org will take you to the same place. It's a very good website.
I go to SaveTheDragon.org. It's easy to remember.
It's much easier to remember. And you'll take you to our website. It's a very good website. It's got a lot of history of the lake, issues that are going on currently at the lake, and also talks about the tunnel project, the Rangers, all of those kinds of things, and tells people what they can do. NARMAC is a volunteer organization. We're a nonprofit. We don't have any paid employees. We have only volunteers as directors. We have directors from all the communities around the lake to bring their communities' concerns to NARMAC, and then take whatever's going on with NARMAC back to their communities.
Well, we wish you luck, Phil, but I don't know. It sounds like an uphill battle here. I think you're in good hands with John Pashong.
Yes.
So he will be your advocate for the North County, but somehow we've got to get the attention of Monterey County. How's attendance been at Lake Nacimiento? More and more people coming?
Yes, this last year was a record year for the marina area where the campground is and where the public marina is. It was one of their very best years.
And if the mussel problem doesn't stay controlled, will that affect your property values? If the lake becomes contaminated, will that do anything to property values?
Absolutely. The bottom will drop out of property values. No one wants to come to a lake that's infested.
All right, Phil, we appreciate you coming in. Final thoughts about what's happening at Lake Nacimiento?
I would just encourage people to work with their public officials. Go to our website, SaveTheDragon.org, see what we have there. There's different pages on there with regards to what's happening currently, news articles, announcements about meetings. NARMAC has a seat on the Reservoir Operations Committee, which is the subset of the Monterey County Water Resources Agency. The Reservoir Operations Committee decides how the lakes are going to be operated. We received that seat years ago as a result of a lawsuit that NARMAC pursued for Monterey County mismanaging the lake, and we received a seat on that board. However, it's mostly farmers that are on the board, and so we're outvoted almost every time.
Nothing like politics. All right, Phil, keep us posted. One last time, SaveTheDragon.org.
SaveTheDragon.org. Please come visit our website, and if you have any questions, the directors' names and emails are on site or on the website. Please feel free to contact us.
What's the best time of year to come to Nacimiento?
Well, all year long. It's an amazing place. Even in the wintertime, it's a beautiful place to be. After heavy storms, you get some debris in the water, but it's interesting. It's just 17 miles long. It has 165 miles of shoreline because of all the different coves and inlets. So it's just a beautiful place to visit.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. More of Hometown Radio still to come. I'm Dave Congleton. This is KVEC News Talk 920 and FM 96.5. Glad to have you with us on Hometown Radio. You're listening to the Dave Congleton Show. We remind you, of course, we stream live on the internet. Thanks for asking. You'll find it at 920kvec.com. We also podcast, so if you miss any part of today's show or shows from last week, they'll be there waiting for you at 920kvec.com. Any number of ways to stay connected to this program, this radio station. After all, we are the oldest radio station on the Central Coast, currently celebrating 80 years of service to the community. Tomorrow, Tom Matson and I will chat about Sacramento and the high risk of flooding that our state capital is facing. The experts are warning that this could be as bad as the recent floods in Houston. David Fry is also going to join us. He did something, I'm very envious of David. He just spent 6-7 weeks hiking across Spain on the famed Camino. I was following him on Facebook with all these great photos. So I want to hear the story. On Thursday, we'll get an update on these lawsuits trying to block or alter this Avalo Ranch project. On Friday, we're going to have some live music for you from the one, the only, Mr. Billy Fapiano. There's nobody else quite like Billy. And we're also going to introduce you to Jimmy Paulding, who has announced to run against Lynn Compton. We're not going to get anything too deep on that Friday. I just invited Jimmy to come on by and introduce himself and kind of talk about his campaign in general. We have certainly heard a lot from Supervisor Compton over the last couple months, so let's give Jimmy a chance. And then after the first of the year, I suspect we will start easing into political coverage because there is the primary in June. Arlo, our dog from Friday, our pet of the week, was not adopted. The bulldog, great dog, very friendly dog. Greer was very enthusiastic about the dog. If you didn't see the photos, go to our Facebook page at News Talk 920 KVC. But please, someone get the dog. I received a couple emails today asking me if I knew about Dan Blackburn. Yes, I know. Dan Blackburn lost his house last week. Dan, in my mind, was and is the leading journalist on the Central Coast. He's been around for a long time. For years, he wrote for New Times, and then he was with Vili at Cal Coast News. And you'll remember last March, Cal Coast News lost the libel case, and they were ordered to pay. And as part of that, Dan lost his house. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what it's like to have to turn over your house as part of a court agreement. And I talked to Dan, and I want to protect his privacy. But I think the thing that frustrates Dan the most is the treatment by the local media. Back in 81, 82, 83, somewhere there, there was a reporter in Arizona named Dan Bowles. And he was investigating, I believe it was mob connection. He was doing investigative reporting. And somebody wanted to shut him up, so they put a bomb in his car. Remember that story? They killed him to shut him up. And then what happened is that reporters flew in from all over the country in response to what happened to Dan Bowles. And they finished the story and they got the bad guy and, you know, it was like a Hollywood movie kind of thing. And even in my brief time in journalism before I did this show, I sensed that esprit de corps as well. That if you, you know, come after one of us, you come after all of us. So I think that Dan Blackburn is a little, he's disappointed because when the trial was going on and with the verdict and everything, the Tribune was covering it and New Times was covering it and KSBY was covering it, covering the trial, covering the verdict. But not a single reporter in this county bothered to try to figure out whether or not Dan and Karen were telling the truth. And I'm not taking exception with the verdict. The verdict is the verdict. The verdict is what it is. They had their day in court, and it didn't go their way. But I feel sorry for Dan. I don't think Dan should have had to give up his house. And I'm sorry that no one else in the local media took it upon themselves to go see if Dan was right. And I will say again what I said last spring. I don't think the last chapter of that story has been written yet. I still think there's more to come. We'll see. And I'm hoping when things quiet down, I can get Dan to come on the story and just kind of look back on his many years as a journalist. Because when he was at New Times, man, you know, Dan was ferocious. He was ferocious in his coverage. And before that, he was up in Sacramento. And before that, he was down in Long Beach. The guy has been around. I believe they're moving south. But I'll let Dan talk about it if he wants to. Tomorrow's Halloween. So during the 5 o'clock hour, I want to talk about fear. I want to talk about what you're afraid of. And I don't mean, I don't like flying. I don't like snakes. I don't like spiders. No, not that kind of stuff. I'm talking about what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of about what's happening in the city? What's happening in the state? What's happening to this country? Here's an article from USA Today. Every year there is a survey by Chapman University, Survey of American Fears. People are scared of a lot of things, ranging from terror attacks to identity theft and deaths within the family. The 2016 survey data showed a shift from 2015, when many of the top fears were economic and Big Brother-type issues. According to the head researcher, a guy named Christopher Bader, professor of sociology, in the new survey, the responses show more of a focus on health and finance. But while the overall focus of fear may have shifted, corruption of government officials remained the top fear for the second year in a row. People often fear what they cannot control, and we find continued evidence of that in our top fears, Bader said. So number one fear, 2 years in a row, corruption of government officials. Not just federal, but state as well. City. So I want you to think about this during the news break, please. As a city, as a state, as a nation. A lot of stuff happening. Man, we could spend the next 2 hours just talking about everything that has been in the news over the weekend. But we're going to invite your phone calls as we get ready for Halloween. What are you afraid of? What's your biggest fear right now? What's facing the city? What's facing the state? What's facing the country? We look forward to that conversation. First, we've got ABC Radio News. Craig is standing by with the latest in time-saver traffic and weather together. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio.